Testing. September 20th, 1979. Talking to Edgar Callens and Caltech biography series. This is the second tape for today.
Up to 100 tons, also. Okay. Right. What's the matter here? I'll go with that for a while.
Yeah, I'm gonna see it on the other side too. And this is
motor boat operator's license.
Safe and trusted duties and instructions operated mechanically propelled passenger carrying vessels. Mm-hmm. 100 tons.
Mm-hmm.
Waters other than oceans and coastwise.
Yeah, that's rivers only, practically.
Rivers. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I can take it up to 100 tons.
Of a mechanically propelled.
Yeah, that's right.
That's like diesel then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anything that's mechanically propelled outside of steam, then I've got the steam on the other side.
So what did you do as an engineer?
Me? Mm-hmm. I went on the steamer Barry Kay as the first assistant engineer under Fred Dorn. So I took my 6-hour watch with him. He took his 6-hour watch, 6 to 12 in the morning. And I took mine 12 to 6 in the afternoon. And then he'd take it in the evening, 6 to 12, and I take mine 12 to 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a lot better pay for that?
Oh, yes. I got 32 a season. 3,200 a season. 3,200 a season. I worked 2.5 seasons under that license.
And then what did you do?
I went down the river. There's a deck here. I went oiling again, and then the next year I went down the river. A fellow named Harold Stewart, who was working for the NC Company, offered me $1,500. If I'd go down and spend the summer downriver with him as a deckhand. So I went down. I said, well, I'll go down for 1 year, sure. My fare is paid to and from. I don't have to worry about nothing, just. And everything is found, you might say. So I went down.
The downriver is where?
Down to St. Michael's, to Marshall. And then the next, during the winter, he wrote me a letter. He said, it got $300 raise for you. So I meant $1,800. So I went back.
And that's when you met Virginia was down there,
huh? No, I met her when I was on the steamboat, 1928. I met her, and we got married in 28. And I got another $50 raise, and I thought, oh, well, that's all right, I'll go down. I'd like to work anyhow down there. And I worked down there. That $50 didn't last, only just about a month and a half, 8 months. And I went right upstairs from the deck. I went right up in the pile house. And I had charge of the boat, the Mildred. And I had a crew working under me.
What year was that?
In 1950. I went skipper on the boat, the Mildred, which was, she was a boat about 64 feet and a half long, 14 foot wide, had 2 75 horsepower diesel engines in her, cats. And I had a crew of, at that time, 3 men under me. And we handled freight, mail. And as the year progressed, why, I got more pay, and then up to where I had 4 men on deck and 1 cook. Besides myself, there were 6 of us on board the boat.
What's one of the most exciting times you ever had then when you were a pilot?
Exciting.
Well, yeah.
One of the most hairy, scary times was one night coming in from St. Michael's, going to St. Michael's from the mouth of the river. There was 2 of us on the boat, that's all that time. I mean, Otto Poldy and myself. Otto was at the wheel, and he said, you handle that searchlight, I'll handle the wheel.
That's it. And we didn't follow no compass. We didn't. It was too rough to follow a compass, so we was keeping off the shore, keeping off the beach, and we was just keeping off the beach, and I mean keeping off. That's it. It was a hairy, scary ride that night until we got into the canal, and oh boy, was I happy. Calm water blowing like mad, but we were in calm water because it couldn't get rough in the canal where we were.
What's rough? What size waves is it?
What size? We had about 5 foot waves or 6 foot out there in the little boat, in that boat, you know. Oh, she was, we were riding against the shoreline. She was high water, too. A couple of times it seemed like we were just about ready to hit her, but we got away from her. We finally got into the canal. Next day we got into the river, into St. Michael, so we were all okay. But that was about the hairy, scariest one I had, although I was out one time for 13 hours. I had one man get sick on me. I couldn't cut the mustard. But it was out 13 hours. We had a tow behind us, 56 tons of salmon, canned salmon. She was rough that time, too. Really rough. I told him, no, don't try to follow no compass course. Just cut those waves so you're not rolling too much. We got in through the canal, that canal. That was between, we got in through the Stebbins Pass, rather. I said, okay, now we're in here. Go away, straight out, don't turn. I said, go straight out till you hit the heavy waves. When you hit them big waves out there, then you can turn, get them on your fanny. So we did, went right on out. I finally got my radio working, got in contact with St. Michael. Then I got in contact with my boss. First I got in contact with a tug. My radio was out, nobody knew where I was at. Harold, my boss, he was giving me weather reports out of St. Michael all the time, and I was receiving, but I couldn't talk to him. So I finally got my radio transmitter working, and then I told him where I was at. I told this tugboat first where I was at. They were coming into St. Michael's, and I told them where I was at. I was going to St. Michael, too. I told him, I'm right in this here Stebbins Pass right now. I'm just going into it about a quarter way. I'll be coming out into the rough water pretty quick. But I didn't see him when I came out. He was out a little too far over the horizon. And I come out and I was...
Lauren, you coming?
No.
Come on, onions.
I went out.
Go, what are you waiting for?
I finally called. I heard St. Michael's talking to Harold, and he told Harold that I was out on my way and could see the ship. Harold turned. I seen Harold then before he talked to me. He didn't see me yet. And he turned. He said, "Well, I see him." So then after they got through, then I talked to Harold. He said, "Take her right alongside the ship. They're waiting for you." So I took my barge right in, right, put her alongside the ship, and I beat her ashore. Harold went out there and stayed in that rough water with it.
Well, what size were those waves?
About 4 feet and a half high. But this boat I had was only drawn 3 feet, you know. And it was pretty rough for that boat. Yeah.
Were there many boats that capsized out there? Or
I don't know if there was or no. Maybe before my time, I don't know. I can't say. No. I had a good time, though.
It sounds like you like being on the river.
Yes, I do. There's a silhouette of the boat I was running. It's a silhouette. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty good sized boat, actually. Yes. You know, for being
65 feet long, and or 64 and a half, and 14 foot wide.
What's the name of it?
Mildred.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's got quite a bit of cabin on there.
It has. We added more cabin onto it than what it was in the beginning.
That whole front part of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had that on. And we had made it warmer and made it better. We had a recreation room. See?
A recreation room?
Then, yes. Because before we just had we only had this much here, you see, from right here, from this here part here back.
Uh-huh.
This way. This here is added on.
Yeah.
See?
Huh.
And it added on, what was it, 12 feet? 12 or 14 feet added on the front end of it. And then it was real well insulated, and then we had our cook said, I don't want no kitchen stove up there. I don't want this. I'll cook back there and bring everything up there. So, all right, we had all our meals up there, and we packed our empty, dirty dishes back, and she took care of everything back there. And then we had nice recreation. See, it was almost as big as this room here.
So, what would you do in the recreation room?
Well, when we tied up in the evening, while we play cards or, you know, and just have a good time. We always had a nice place. Before, we didn't have no recreation room. We had no place. Just the bunks where the boys were staying in, or back and I was sleeping upstairs. And this way, we had more room. The boys had their bunkhouse here, you know, their bunks there, six bunks in there, four bunks in there. And then we had this out here all by itself where we had our meal. We had a table one full length of the front against the cabin. And then we had storage room under there, and the cook would bring our food up there, and we'd bring all our empty dishes back, and she'd take care of them back there in the galley, and that was it. More room all the way around. It made it better. Yeah.
So these guys would stay on the boat for the whole season? You go up down the river?
Oh, yes. It was home. We had our home on the boat, period.
Where were most of the crew guys from?
They're from, I picked my crew from, first I picked them from Pit Metallic, which was just down there by, not by Pit Metallic, what am I talking about? It's right there at the mouth of the river. I picked them there. And then they moved to close that place down, Cheneliac. I took them from Cheneliac, the boys. And then they moved all to Imahk afterwards, because Cheneliac would flood out in the fall. So they moved them all to move the whole village to Kotlik and built Kotlik. Well, then my boys were from Kotlik. But I had my boys. The boys, I had some of them all for 4 or 5 years. Same boys, year after year, you know.
Why was it that you got guys from down there?
Well, that's where I was working from. Boys at St. Michael, I didn't want them because they were drinking. Too much drinking. And I told the boys on the boat, I'll do all the drinking for all the whole crew this summer. This summer, and that's the way I'd like to have it. And it was. Just that way. I did the drinking for all the boys on the boat, all the crew.
You must drink a lot.
Yeah, and that they're fine. I had no trouble. I'll tell them, if the wind starts to blow when we're tied up in St. Michael, I want you all back on the boat right now. He says, I want everything cleaned off. I want the barge cleaned off. I want all your grading piled up in one place on the barge, or a long one. You know, I want everything ready, everything, so you don't have to fool around when we get to St. Michael. That's the way it was. Everything was all spick and span ready when we got to St. Michael. And if it was one day and the boys was on the boat, clean her up, boys. Wipe up the engines, clean her all. That's all it was, too. Evenings, we used to play cards. If we didn't go ashore, we'd play cards and just have a heck of a time.
Played card games?
Yeah, we played what they call Crazy Eight. Have you ever played that game?
No.
Crazy Eight and Pick Two. Oh, they used to have an awful time. Two brothers used to have an awful time trying to get me caught all the time. Then when I'd get out of them, I'd laugh at them. Oh, we had a good time. Nobody was mad at one another. We were all good. Just had joyful company. The whole gang that I had on the boat, we were just one, period. That's all there was to it. Nobody drank. Not even me. I didn't even drink. But I drank enough for all of them. And I had no trouble with drinking. I had no trouble with drunken people coming on the boat either. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
So where would that run go from the mouth to where?
From St. Michael to Marshall. Or sometimes better known on the map as Fortuna Ledge. Mm-hmm. And I did go, the last 2 years I went as far as Russian Mission. Because I know the river. I knew the river. In fact, I know the whole, I've been up and down the whole river.
People say that right down there at the mouth, you know, there's so many problems getting through because sandbars build up and the channel changes and everything.
No, it's not channel changing. It's a flat. It's flat. And there's only one semi, you might say, it's semi-channel. It's just a little. And if the tide is low, you can't go out even with a 3-foot boat. You got to wait for tide. And then we had a man down there that staked that channel with poles at low tide. And he put the poles in, and the red poles was on for coming in on your left side or going out on your right side. And then when you got down, or you made it, you got down, you went out, just like kind of a little bend, just a little bend, and then you come to here, and then you made zip, zip, just like that. Really a bad one. But they were marked. When we had to come down here, then we had a black stake with a turn light on it, with a light on it. Then we went up this way, followed the black stakes up into the river. But we had no trouble. We wouldn't dare to try to come in unless the tide was up. We wouldn't try to come in. I'd come in when I was coming from St. Michael. I'd come in until I went aground. Then I'd drop the hook. I'd wait for tide to raise. As soon as the water raised high enough, then I'd wiggle my way in and get into the river. When I was coming out the same way, I'd come down past the turn here, turn and come out here till I hit the shallow water. There's only one little space there. A real shallow water was about, I'd say maybe 300 feet. And that was it, just a little hump. And we'd get over. Coming out or going in either way. We never had any trouble. But now these boats down here, now it's coming and going, they don't try to mark that river the way we used to. See? And they have trouble. And sometimes they're a couple of days there, and we never were stuck that long. We were only there for one low tide, was all. And then we'd ride in over the tide. We'd come in till we had no more water, wait for the tide to go up, erase. And then we'd come on in, or go out, either way.
Yeah. Well, how about along the river then, up when you're going up to Marshall, ever have problems with sandbars there?
No, there's plenty of water. And the last time I went down and went out the river, with a boat, I was taking a boat down and drawing 4.5 feet of water. And the place that we were having trouble before, watching, you know, I said, I'm going to try another channel. Which I did. And I had 20 feet of water in that channel. Never used that channel before. 20 feet of water. What's that? I hit the other channel. I hit bars on the other channel, all right. But this other was just a little bit longer. I had to come across and go up this way. And the other one was come up this way and come out here. So we come this way and come up this way and then met the other one. The upper end was a bad spot here coming into this other channel. And I found out this other one, no trouble. I don't think they use it now down the lower river. I don't think there's other pilots know that channel. But I was one of them little muskrats that went all over the country in my boat, you might say. I tried out every channel in the country down there. I heard my father-in-law was all over the country down there with his boat running around, so I thought, well, if he went there, I can go there, and I did.
Was your father-in-law a pilot, too?
He was working with the NC Company until he died, yes.
What was his name?
Alex Kuznetsov.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you spent some time on
Tanana
before that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I spent my time on Tanana from 1923 to 19... I don't know, 48.
Well, how did that 30, compare with Downriver?
Tanana River? Mm-hmm. Oh, you had at that time when I was on there, it was hitting lots of sandbars. And Downriver didn't hit them. No. Why, my pilot used to hit them, yes. He said to me one time, he was on, and I put you on a bar. I said, you sure do. 8 to 10 hours on a bar.
How'd you get off?
Well, the boat was never stuck. It was the barge generally stuck. So I could get the boat off and twist around and get a tow line on the boat. And an anchor up front, and then I'd drop the anchor to hold the boat in position, and I'd just wash until I got the barge loose and move up at the same time. I had 600 feet of cable, so I'd throw an anchor out the end of that cable and then drop back and pick up my tow line on the barge. And I had this winch on the boat, and I just winch a little and wash and winch more and wash and winch more and wash. Pretty soon I had the barge off the side.
And then you'd have to spin around and hook up again?
Yeah, which was easy. I'd go up until I got deep water and hook on, push the barge again. It was better to push them than to tow them down there, because if you hit, the barge kept coming, she'd hit you and you wouldn't be any boat anymore.
Well, when were your last, you mentioned your last couple of years of coming down over there?
Boating? Well, this old NC sold out in 68. And I thought that I was finished. But I wasn't. They put me on the beach and put me in as a timekeeper at Imonger and the fish in the canneries. So I worked there as a timekeeper.
And you were 64 then?
Mm-hmm. So I was still working. There was no use for me to. I didn't want to go draw Social Security because I could only get $140 out of my Social Security. See? And I wouldn't get anything, you might say. So I just didn't draw. I didn't go after it. Until I was. NC sold out when I was 72. And then I guess I better write for Social Security, but I forgot it. I could better write a G-Wiz about time. Next thing I know, I got a letter. You're now 72 years of age, and this is your first check. Yeah, so I never had to write for it. Mm-hmm. Social Security.
Well, this NC company, we hear a lot about them. They were all up and down the river way back.
They started in first, I think it was Alaska Commercial. Then it was Northern Navigation and N Company. And then that they got out of the navigation and went to the NC Company. And it was NC Company until 1923. And then they sold out and went to NC Company of Alaska. And I don't know when they dropped out of Alaska, so went to drop back to the NC Company again. Now they sold out in 74, huh? No. 72, they sold out to AC Company again.
Well, when they used to be running, the NC Company and all their different names, they had stores and boats, and were they buying furs too?
Oh, yes. The NC Company had at one time 25 steamboats on the river.
And how many stores?
They had about 22, huh, Mom? NC Company? Stores? Somewhere around there, 22 stores on the river. All over the river. So they really had a monopoly.
There are a lot of people then, too.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's happened so that they sold out and don't have...
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I guess you better get the camera working again. Oh. I'll show you something.
My goodness. That's pretty.
You know what?
You want to do it in color?
Yeah, I do, but I'd like to this is not a bad light to
Gee, Father Robert. Mm-hmm. Now we've heard about him.
What?
Not too many people who know him anymore, are they?
Well, I didn't know him.
You didn't know him?
No.
Did he perform the marriage?
Yes.
Oh, and it's also your certificate of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see now. How can I get the best copy of this?
You had no easel to put it up on.
I've got the stuff, you know.
There's a
I've got.
Copy stand at the school.
That's right. The school's got a copy stand because I know the people in Nevada are trying to get it.
Copy? But you have to do it in color. Well, the color?
It's color from you.
Oh, you got the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, what it is, it's just a thing to screw your camera onto.
Sure. Enlarger.
Uh-huh.
Something well, similar to an enlarger.
It's similar to an enlarger that can run up and down on this middle post.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do, because I won't try to just hand hold this. I'll get a real good one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get a good copy of it tomorrow.
This guy, Raguru, boy.
Mm-hmm. My Raguru.
Old-time guy.
That's my dad and mother's marriage license. When were they married?
October, 5th of October.
5th of October. I was born 18th of October the following year.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, who do you have for witnesses here?
A.A. Carbisher?
Yep.
Okay. And Julia DeMosca?
Yep.
Okay. Ed Keogh?
Yep.
And Leo DeMosca,
yep.
Senior?
Mm-hmm.
And Cecilia?
Right.
Cecilia Carey, used to be.
Do you know any of those people?
Leo DeMosca Sr., Julia DeMosca Sr., Ed Keogh, and Cecilia. But I didn't know Ed Carbisher.
Huh. We've heard those names of people, you know.
And
yeah, better known as Callens.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
4 October 18th, Harry Callen and Angeline. You're given the names of Edward, Edgar, and Edmund?
Yes, sir.
You got three names like that. And Alexander...
Kosnalyut. What's an Aleut? That's a native word. That's he was my godfather. He was my uncle also. Kosnalyut is they kicked me out.
Oh, that's what you were telling us earlier today about Zumba. You were just a little kid.
Yeah.
Gosnalyut. That's
Gosnalyut. They kicked me out. Elias, Alex, Lochka. Lochka, as far as I know, is something skinny or.
Alex Lochka. It's a Russian word.
Yeah, Lochka. Skinny, I guess, or a rope.
So that his name, you can spell it, huh? Are you going to take a picture?
Okay,
I'll take a picture.
His.
Kosnalyut.
Iyut.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have interviewed Herbert? Solomon?
Yeah.
Okay. That's his dad.
That's his dad?
Mm-hmm. Herbert is my first cousin.
Oh.
You didn't know that.
But now, how is it that you got three first names here?
I don't know. I don't know. Father Riker told my dad, wait, my dad says, Father Riker says, I got to give him a name too. So he named me one of those. I don't know which one.
Well, how did you decide on using Edgar then?
The reason why I decided that was there was two of us in school with Edward. And every time the teacher said, called Edward, you know, we'd both raise our hand and say, you know. So I decided, well, I think I'll use Edgar instead. Because that way then we knew which one was going to have to raise our hand. At that time, it was very quiet in school, period. You drop a pencil, you know, in school, and there was 30 of us in school. You drop a pencil, it was just like dropping a log. Hmm. Well, you could hear it all over the room. But right now, you drop a pencil in school, everybody turned to see what happened. Yeah. It was real quiet in school. We had no disturbance in school. Everything was real quiet.
So did you ever get a native name?
Yes, I've got one, but I don't know what it, I don't know what it is. I don't know. There was only one woman that I know knew it, and she died now, so I don't know what my native name was. Mm. As far as I know, I have no idea what it was. Mm. And I don't think, well, her husband is dead too. And I don't think anybody else. And the old lady, her mother is dead, so I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you knew Father Jette.
Oh, yes.
Well, he kept a record of people's native names and Christian names.
Well, maybe he's got it. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't know.
Because they have those records in Fairbanks, uh-huh. In the archives on microfilm at the University of Alaska.
I was going to give this here to the bishop, but he didn't come on our 50th anniversary. I was going to give it to him.
You're going to give it to him on your 50th wedding anniversary? Mm-hmm.
Wow. He didn't come.
Well, I'm glad, because you get to take a picture of it after your book.
Yeah, we might check on it.
My dad says, take care of this paper. So I did.
In good shape, because it's old.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, 1904, that's...
67 years old. 74, going on 75.
Going on 75.
Yeah.
December.
Yeah. I'll be 75 next month.
All right. You going to have a big birthday party?
I don't know. We need to have a big boarding party on our 50th.
Right, well, you got to make up for it.
We had, on our 50th, we were counting ballots. It just happened to be right on our 50th anniversary, Election Day.
November 7th? 8th?
November 7th, yeah. That's when we were married.
Well, so you knew this guy Rotheru?
No, I.
Oh, he's.
I couldn't remember him.
He would have been old then.
Yeah, he was old then. He baptized me. See, I was born. He baptized me in December. I was born in October. So I never seen him. But my dad knew him.
Rotheru was one of the first Jesuits in this country.
Well, I wouldn't know whether he was or there was some before him.
Mm-hmm. So then, how about Father Jette? Did you have some questions about him?
Yeah, I do have questions. Well, what do you remember of Father Jette?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say about what you want to talk about, but he was real nice, very good. And in church, when he read the missal, you know, or anything, you understood every word, no matter what grade you were in, as long as you could understand English. He cut everything down so as you could understand it. And he was very nice, very learned. I took arithmetic with him 2 hours every night after school. All day in school, 2 hours every night after school.
Why were you getting special instruction after school?
Well, my dad wanted me to take it, so I took it. I liked it, and I was down there, and we had lots of fun. I liked it. He was very pleasant. He was real nice, very pleasant. There was I can't explain it. He wasn't overbearing, let's put it that way. He was very quiet and very instructive, let's say that way. He'd go through, he'd break everything down to explain it so nice to you. And he was right with the children. The kids all liked him. I know we all liked him. And he gave me my first 3A camera. You know, you ever seen them? Kodak, postcard size. He gave me my first camera, 3A. And some cognac sold on me on the boat. So I lost it. It was a 3A rapid rectangular lens on it, but it took very good pictures. There was 8 pictures on a roll, postcard size.
Did he ever use a camera like that?
He used that one first, then he used a different camera. He used a more of Graflex, something along the Graflex style afterwards.
Larger box then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He done all his development printing himself. I learned how to develop and print with him.
Do you have pictures that you took him?
I have some somewhere around.
Gee, that'd be really interesting to see those pictures.
We both developed, learned. I learned her how to develop and print pictures too. We used to do. I don't know. We must have had about $80 worth of different kinds of papers and equipment to take to develop and print pictures with. We had, I think, 4 different kinds of paper in the Velox brand, for according to your film.
Yeah. Gee, I'd really like to see some of those pictures. That's, you know, of course, that's, I'm really interested in that, anyway.
Hi,
can
I see you?
We got some pictures. I'd like to see my mother's picture. That's the one I'd like to see.
Well, we'll send it to you. In fact, we meant to bring it with us. I'm really sorry that we didn't bring that down with us. We meant to bring it and give it to you.
I got one picture of my mother. But that's all. Just my mother taking a ruby in 1912, I believe. Where is that, Mom? Mother? Mom? Huh? Where is that album with my mother's picture in it? Is it in the bedroom there? What? Oh, it's just, we got an album about that. A lot of old pictures in there.
Well, maybe, you know, another day, I'm using that copy stand. I could copy some of those to put in the book, too. In the book. It's just me taking pictures of the pictures.
I got a picture in there of my dad and a fellow named Henry Bazonin, another guy who was working up here at American Creek.
American Creek, yeah. Around here?
This side of. The other side of Hot Springs. This side of Hot Springs.
Yeah, right.
This side of Hot Springs. American Creek.
There's still a mine out there.
Yeah.
That's,
What are you doing?
Well, I'm taking pictures. Somebody looking at pictures. Oh.
This is the big snow in Caltech in 1911, about, I think it was.
Somebody's team going by, too.
Yes, sir. That man is dead. Joe Stickman.
Oh. And this is...
That's Alex Kuzevnikov on the MSNC. And this is my cousin. And this is her boyfriend. At that time, they're both married. I don't know who that girl is. I think it says so on the back.
Oh, yeah. That's the boy I've been going with for so long, and my girlfriend. Oh, mm-hmm. Didn't say who it is.
No. This is the way they used to haul freight up the hill at Caltech. That's pictures we took.
See, there's a guy standing right in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we put freight down here on the beach, and then we hauled up the hill on that cart.
Huh.
It's the easy way.
Mm-hmm. That's the old telegraph station right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see this...
That's the old dance hall. They tore it down.
Oh, they tore it down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know who this is. Somebody down river. This picture was taken in the Tandon graveyard. Here's one picture. Here's the camera Father Jetty gave me. I took this picture with it. That's the marshal going uptown in Tandon. I didn't print that. Now this here is Sandy Smith expedition. Or is it? No. This is Holland. They had a ton of mail to Holland, haul out of the Kiakuk Trail from Tanana to Kiakuk, back in Wiseman. And they had 5 or 6 dog teams taking that mail. I took the picture, but I didn't develop it either. I printed the photo. Remember Harry Nakakawa did that. And this is people I remember in Tanana. We're passing them on the boat. And that's this is Edgar Joseph. He just died here lately. And this is Johnny Folger. He dead a long while ago. Taking the Tanana River. This is 4th of July at Tanana.
Tug of war.
No, is it? No, wheelbarrow race.
Boy, they got all the women on one side and the men on the other side, and they got something between them, and they're grazing dust. And
mm-hmm. That's the way Tanana used to look.
Wow. That's beautiful.
You know where that culvert is now? At Tanana?
Yeah.
Below the NC Company?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right here.
Wow.
Let's see, I've got to look at this myself. Yeah, that'd be right in here. This is the northern, northern saloon?
Photo identification?
It was built. What is known as the Sandy Smith Expedition. Detroit Wilkins Arctic Expedition. They were loading up and getting ready to go, leaving Tanana.
Uh-huh.
That was, they were going to Point Barrow.
All right, you know what we can do is...
And here's,
I'll put my finger up. If you don't want to record it.
Here's another one.
I know. Let's see.
And here's the same. Again, they were loading up, getting ready to go. Hermitage. Better known as Option Joe. And I tried to get on there and it wouldn't take me. Very soon, about 2 hours, 3 hours later, the dog team come in to get me. So I went with them. And this is Barrow. We only went as far as Wiseman. Or we went to Anacostia Pass. This is 4th of July in Tanana. That's the way Tanana, Front Street used to look in Tanana.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So this is photograph number one, Front Street in Tanana.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out our system, huh?
This is Anna Key and Franklin Lockwood, Tanana. I don't know. I couldn't get a good picture of it. I didn't even develop the print. This is taken in Tanana also, I believe. Yeah, in Tanana. It used to be Black's Hotel, Tanana.
Mm.
And this is, you can guess,
Father Jetty, standing in the doorway.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you take that one?
I took it, yes.
And where is it?
Tanana. It was in the church at Tanana. See the radio tower back there?
Mm-hmm.
It's torn down now.
Photograph number 2 is the one of Father Jetty in church doorway in Tanana.
Mm-hmm. Now here is the breakup in 1928, the spring of 28. No, spring of 29. Yeah, we got married in 28. That's spring of 29. This is my wife. There, this is my wife here, Virginia. This is Selena Edelman. That was taken from the NC store, the upper end, up there where, up there. In order, this place has moved already since, and it's just this side of where the dance hall is, down away from the dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
Just above the mouth of that little creek.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the ice is really pushed up
there. It is.
That was really high breakup there.
It was.
Mine was big.
Did the ice wreck anything?
No. I got a better picture than that afterwards. This is some of that Detroit Arctic Expedition too. There's this is Emma Lou Hanks, teacher, and this is Mr. Howard. He was our commissioner. And watching hooking up dogs. This is taken around Ruby. I didn't take this picture. I think Matthew took that picture, Matthew Johnson, I'm not sure. There's that breakup too, 10 and off, the same one as this other one. You've seen this one already. Oh, this one here now. Ori Shade told me how to take that picture. This was his brother in that plane going to Nenana, and he was passing through Tenino. Now this is looking down Front Street at Tenino from the NC store. This building is still standing.
What's that Tenino building now?
It used to be NC Company agents building, living quarters.
But they've changed the outside then?
No, it's still standing up there. Mog is living in it now. Sammy Mog.
Uh-huh.
He bought it.
That's photograph number 4.
I guess you can figure what that is.
I looked in the wrong thing.
There's a snow bunny.
Snow bunny.
This picture, I don't know, Tannenau. That's down where, now where the Catholic Church is?
Uh-huh.
That's right about here, where the Catholic Church is now, Tannenau. Pacific Coast Storage Meat Market.
Who took that one?
I don't know who took it. It was some
commercial postcard.
Yeah.
PCS Company is
Pacific Coast Storage. By Wechter Brothers.
Mm-hmm. That's photograph number 5.
Mm-hmm. Now this is, you've seen that part of that already.
Oh yeah, that's at Detroit. That's
This one too is a break of Town River.
Big sheets going out.
Mm-hmm. Now this is the Sandy Smith Detroit Expedition. That's Sandy Smith on that sled, handling it. I asked for a job and he didn't want me, he said he had enough men. Well, that evening he sent for me and I ended up with that sled all the way down McDougal Pass.
That's photograph number 6.
Now there's Tenino again, just above the Pacific Coast Storage Building. You know, that used to be Rodman's store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the Post. I was one night down in the gymnasium, took a picture.
Oh, who are those people in there?
That's me, right there.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, and who are these other people?
This is David Kay.
Okay.
I don't know, and this is Arthur Antosky. No, this is Arthur Antosky. I guess this is Anthony.
Okay, Arthur Antosky is the right.
He's dead now.
Uh-huh.
This is a Harper. I don't know what Harper. These two, I don't know who they are. That was taken in the gymnasium, I believe. Yeah, in the gymnasium. I don't know.
Okay, so second from the right
is taken
Harper, and third from the right is...
Antosky?
Antosky.
Oh, wait, this is Antosky.
Mm-hmm.
Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... Cochrane,
what's his first name?
Anthony, I believe. He's dead now. These three probably are all gone. And I know where David is, David Kay is.
Taken in the gym at town.
Taken in town, though. I'm not sure exactly where now.
It's like a stage or
something. Now, this is the male teams that was going. They were taking the male out of town on a team. But there were 6 dog teams taking male out of town at one shot going to the Koyukuk. This used to be my house. Right here, too.
Right there. Oh, that's a good one of it.
That used to be my house there.
That's a good one of the mail, too.
And yeah, I lost that property.
Do you know who those people are?
No, I don't know who they are, really.
But that's the mail going out to the Kaiko.
Yeah, they had a ton of mail taken out. And there was, I don't know, 7 dog teams, I think it was.
Well, what happened to that property?
The BLM said I don't own it. But I got the deeds. And they said they can't find any records of it. But I know they can. I took this picture of a load of wood coming into Tenino.
Oh, big raft.
No, it's on a scow.
Oh, it's on a scow.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
What is this about?
4th of July. Yeah, Mrs. Gilmore and them dressed me up, made me walk around.
Who's Mrs.
What
Gilmore?
They're dead now.
What year was that?
Oh gosh, I was about 14, I guess. Somewhere around 15, somewhere around in there.
But did they do that with very many people?
No.
That was the only time, huh?
Yeah, as far as I know. Now this is, I guess they're looking, I don't know whether this is Sandy Smith Expedition or no on this one here, but that's my house in the background. And that's looking up the Kaikou Trail, looking out the Kaikou Trail. Here's another one here. I don't know who these... This is Mary Cochran, Mrs. Cochran. That's Anthony and Bergman Cochran's mother. Mary Cochran's mother, 2 and 10 and all. I don't know who this is. That may be old man Cochran himself. That's looking down back street from my house down. Where my house was down. Looking down. Down. This is a picture of Steamer Jacobs. Taken around Marshall, I believe.
This is the one you worked on?
Mm-hmm. This is one of the books I worked on.
That's number 10, Steamer Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. This is Steamer Jacobs again. I'm sure. Yeah, Steamer Jacobs again, passing town and all. This is a bad time for the Steamer Jacobs. That was a bad time. We're unsure of wood. So they were hitting wood on the beach. Driftwood. And they're packing it on. We gotta get it on quick. Steamer Alice is coming somewhere. We don't want to see him catch us picking up wood off the beach. We're unsure of wood. So everybody was packing on wood and I was taking a picture. I was firing. This is a Steamer Yukon.
That's photograph number 11, packing wood.
That's a Steamer Yukon. Now, I don't know what caused it to get little black spots on it.
Mm-hmm. That's something in your film. It's called reticulation.
Oh.
But makes a nice effect. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Steamer Yukon.
Steamer Yukon taking on oil. Getting ready to take on oil at 10 and all. See the oil pipeline coming down?
Taking on oil? Did it run around oil?
Yeah, she was burning diesel. Or not diesel, but regular oil.
Number one.
Number 19. I guess let's call it that way.
19.
Right out of the ground. That's oil right
that's
out of the ground.
That's number 12.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now here's the Steamer Jacobs bringing the Steamer Alice in upriver. The Alice had a broken crankshaft, so the Steamer Jacobs towed her all the way up to Nenana.
Now your barge there's got like a warehouse on top of it.
Yes. Well, we had them all that way. Those days. Now here's the Steamer Nenana. No, Steamer Yukon. I don't know what caused it. I guess something wrong with the film.
That's one of the chemicals.
We were running a race with the Steamer Yukon, Steamer Jacobs, and Steamer Yukon. We had an empty barge, and that barge was 400 tons of ore drawing 4 feet of water. And here we are, we got ahead of them on the shallow water. We could run away from them on shallow water.
Picked up right off the jam.
Right off the beach. See? Here we are again. Here we are again, this old Steamer Jacobs. I was taking pictures. Everybody was packing on driftwood, and I was taking pictures.
Let's see.
Is that number 13?
You're still,
I told you, it was working my plan, getting that wood on board. Okay, this is the next one, number 11. Picking up wood off the beach.
No, that's number 13.
Number 13. Okay, this says right there, yeah. Well, that's an excellent one.
Okay, number 14. Another
Steamer you got.
Steamer.
That is a fine picture.
It's taken by Shade. Hoy Shade.
Okay, number 15, Steamer.
So we were at. Somebody took that picture.
Now, who is this?
That's us. That's us in company. It's taken below town and all there, just below the down or about where the hospital is now, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We were out walking around there.
That's, number 16.
Her mother, her auntie, the wife's auntie, Olga Harmon, right now. She's in Fairbanks. Hmm. just wondering. I got another picture. I think there's one better.